there. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. It is Friday. Great to have you with us. Got a good show for you. Today, I'm going to tell you about it right after we pray. I'm Gary Zimek, by the way. Might as well put that right out there at the beginning of the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, you have brought us to the beginning of another day. For that, we are grateful. Thank you for allowing us to come on the air here on Holy Spirit Radio to share the good news. And thank you for the fact that we are all alive today, and we know that you have big plans for us, Father. We ask you to let us know what those plans are and give us the grace to carry them out. May we see you in everyone we meet and in every situation that we encounter. Father, I ask you to accept our intentions. It's probably a lot of things that we are all concerned about. We're going to give them to you, and we're going to listen to the advice of your Son Jesus, who told us to give our problems to you, to ask for what we need, and to trust that you will provide. We're going to do that today. Father, we ask that you continue to speak through us today on the program. Let us let your words go forth from our lips, and please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, I'm Gary Zimek. Today is Friday. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. A great way to start your day here in the Delaware Valley. We got a great show for you today. Author Vicki Burbach will be here. She wrote a book called How to Read Your Way to Heaven, a spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between. In addition, Dan Burke will be here. It's been a while since Dan's been with us. He's going to be talking about redemptive suffering. Now, speaking of,
I knew you were going to do it, bro.
The worst of sinners, the greatest of saints.
Yeah, where are you on the continuum?
Somewhere in that on that spectrum is my friend Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, listeners. I knew he was going to do that.
You saw that one coming.
Yeah, well, that was a softball. I was just. I think I hit that out of the park.
Oh man! Hey, Dave. Good to see you today.
Good. I think I'm toward the bottom.
I was thinking of you this morning. I stepped out of the house, and it was kind of bright out.
Oh, okay.
And wow. I thought, wait a minute, are the days getting longer? And then I said, no, it's the harvest moon.
Yeah, the Dave Parker harvest moon.
It was really bright
well,
out.
It was, there. Seriously, folks. Yeah, because I brought it up yesterday, and Gary had the little quiz, and wow. Coming up today, I mean, it was so beautiful just now. I mean, if you go outside now before total sunrise, where?
Excuse me, I just destroyed the studio.
That's all right. Yeah. Anyways, now
let's get back to the harvest moon.
Yeah, you can see the harvest moon.
Well, I want to
so
talk.
Beautiful,
okay,
folks.
So last night, as you know, I was at the Malvern Retreat House. I did it.
How did that
talk.
Go?
It went well. But Dave, I don't. There's something going on now. This has to do with the harvest moon, but it also has to do with deer, because wherever I go, the deer are just following me.
Yes.
So they're deer all over the place at the Malvern Retreat House. I was seeing them last night, and we were sitting at dinner, and somebody said, "You have to watch the deer, especially during the harvest moon, because they think it's daylight and they start to be more active."
Yeah.
Do you know if that's true?
I believe that's true. I mean, there's so much, you know, from that moon, because the moon reflects the sun, and it's probably the brightest it's going to be, you know. And so it starts to interact with the brains of the deer and their internal time clock, biological clock, and they start to, hey, it's daylight,
right.
You know. Hey,
right.
Let's go do some foraging or something.
whatever they do.
You know.
So that came up again, but fortunately no issues there, because Malvern's secluded. There are a lot of woods around there, a lot
let's
of deer.
Let's go bug Zimak at it. He's at the retreat house.
Wherever
let's go
I go.
Look
they're
the
waiting
window.
For me in Fargo, North Dakota. I'm going there tomorrow. They're going to be waiting for me.
Well, the memo's out.
the memo's out, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. How do they communicate across state lines? Is that by email, or do they?
I think so.
A little tough with the hoofs.
Yeah,
type,
yeah,
right?
The older deer, but no. That's the older deer generation. The younger deer, boy.
Where is Frank Eliasson when we need him? Frank, I'm looking at an empty chair. No Frank today.
Really?
We're going down, brother. We're going down. I don't know if we're going to make the one-year anniversary at this point. We've got a couple more days.
Yeah, we're really on a nature, you know, theme today. Well, that's good. So back to the harvest moon. It's beautiful. It's one of a manifestation of God's great creations. I mean, just think
about
the
solar
system.
It really is.
And then the solar system embedded in the universe, you know, and the Milky Way and all that, you know. It's just phenomenal.
It is. Dave just shrugged his shoulders, saying, "I got nothing else."
Well, welcome to Science Friday, but that's another network. Sorry.
I do want to make a point to read the gospel. We're going to do that in a minute. But, Dave, this book, where I'm looking at this book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven. And it has to do with spiritual reading. You're an avid reader.
I am.
Do you choose? I mean, I know you read a lot of spiritual books.
Mm-hmm.
How do you choose? Like, in Dave Parker's life, how...
I think it's driven by, honestly, by what the guest you're having on. I mean, in the last year.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great
authors.
And
so much to kind of, you know, to go find and whatever. So whatever the Spirit, you know, tells me or kind of leads me to, I will go focus on that. And then kind of, because if it's something in my mind I have a question about or I want to go deeper on it. So, that, I mean, I just kind of let the Spirit guide me.
Mm-hmm.
But I always want to stay in Scripture first, you know.
It's always good to read Scripture
and
every day, right.
And kind of pivot off of that. And then, but see where the author of a book like this, the book you're going to discuss today, you know, and on that continuum, where am I?
Do you ever read multiple books concurrently?
Yes, but not of late.
Okay.
Because we've had multiple grandkids at the house.
Right. So, yeah.
And other things, you know. But yeah, but I try to just, I got to read. Or read a chapter. Read half a chapter.
Right.
And then go. And then we got a new dog, you know. So I try to keep my reading up.
Right. It's
How
good.
About you, Gary?
Yeah, I do. I love reading. I have multiple books on my nightstand. My wife will vouch for that. But that's one of the great benefits of Catholic radio, because not only on this show, but I'm always listening to the other programs on Holy Spirit Radio, and I hear so many great authors,
exactly.
So many great books, and I want to get them all.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And you know, you kind of gravitate towards certain books, certain ones. You think, well, they're beyond me. I'm not really interested in that. I don't, But there are certain books that really get my attention, and I have learned a lot. I've grown closer to Christ, without a doubt, through spiritual reading, especially, as you mentioned, through the Bible.
And real quickly, Gary, I mean, this past weekend, I got on Facebook, and a lot of us are on Facebook, some are not, but there was a meme, or something, and it was a cartoon of the woman sitting on the edge of the bed, and her husband apparently got crushed.
You posted that,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, I got that. Crushed by books. I mean, they were
that
on his nightstand.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It tipped over. Yeah, and that'd be me sometimes.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Dave.
Anyway, yes, Gary.
You want to ask me about the weather?
Yeah, Gary, what's the weather?
Well, funny you should mention that. Okay. Here is the weather for today. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, under mostly cloudy skies, it's 67 degrees. And today we're going to have partly sunny skies with a high near 83. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 66. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 84. At the moment in Westchester, 64 degrees. In Buckingham, 64 degrees. And in Jenkintown, it is 68 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I understand some much-needed rain is on the way.
Yes. I believe over Sunday into Monday, I believe it's going to be the remnants of maybe tropical storm. I don't know if it's a tropical depression.
Right,
Nate
right.
Coming in through the Gulf and coming up through the south and drawing a bead on our area, which... is the rain is much needed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's on the way. What else? Dan Burke going to be back on with us today. He has not been feeling well. Dan's been dealing with pneumonia.
Dan.
Yeah, he's needed it.
And if he's listening now, prior to him coming on, we're praying for you, brother.
We are so grateful that he's coming on today. He's going to talk, Dave, about redemptive suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Dan has been offering up all of his suffering, and he's been journaling it, too. I've been reading some of what he's been in and out of the emergency room. It has been quite a struggle for Dan.
Yes.
And he's going to talk about the value of offering up our suffering. Growing up, I remember hearing a lot, just offer it up. Anytime you complained about anything, one of the sisters in school or my mom would say, offer it up. I never really knew what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought it meant, well, just shut up and stop complaining.
Yeah.
But, you know, seriously, but as a kid, but in all honesty, what it means is we can take whatever suffering we're experiencing and unite it with the Lord's suffering,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, we can help him to save souls.
Yes.
It's an incredible gift,
mm-hmm.
and one that we often take for granted. It's much easier to complain when we're unhappy or suffering mm-hmm. than to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to endure this as
mm-hmm.
long as you permit it to happen. I'm going to endure it and give it to you. That's more difficult sometimes.
Exactly. Well, having not been a Catholic growing up, but I heard it from my Catholic friends and their parents especially, or friends of the family that happened to be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, and let me fast forward or jump. It reminded me of the Stations of the Cross. That's what redemptive suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all remember, go back to the Stations and how Jesus suffered, but it was all for us.
That's right.
You know?
That is right. So we're going to talk to Dan about that. Today's gospel, a little bit of a short one from Luke chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? Will you go down to the netherworld? Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects the one who sent me." Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Sorry about that. Again, this is the continuation of Jesus' dissertation to his 72 disciples.
Yes.
He's sending you guys out saying, people are going to reject you. People are going to push back. But when they reject you, they're rejecting me.
Exactly.
Dave, we need to all take that to heart because we're all going to get through over the course of our life into these discussions with people about religion, about the Lord, about our Catholic Church. Not everybody's going to welcome our message with open arms.
Exactly. Well, they may be vehement, against the, you know, what they think is Catholicism, which a lot of them don't have that the proper or the right knowledge,
right?
Because it's been skewed by rumor, innuendo, misunderstanding.
That's right. Then Jesus is saying, "Don't feel bad about it. They are not necessarily rejecting you; they're rejecting me, and I'm okay with that."
And it's our job to bring them back to the true faith.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Dave Parker. When we come back, how to read your way to heaven with author Vicki Burbach. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 5th. Today we celebrate Faustina Kowalska. Born in what is now Poland in 1905, today's saint was employed as a housekeeper for a time before joining the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in 1925. Taking the name Faustina, she spent her days working as cook, gardener, and porter. The young sister developed a rich interior life, including revelations from Jesus, which she recorded in her diary. The God who revealed himself to Sister Faustina was not the strict judge so many had come to know, but a God of mercy and forgiveness. Two requests that the Lord made of Faustina were that she paint her vision of his merciful divinity emanating from his Sacred Heart, and that she ask for the creation of a feast of divine mercy. She wrote that Jesus said to her, "I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart." Forever linked to the divine mercy, Sister Faustina died of tuberculosis in 1938. Pope John Paul II canonized her in 2000 and established the second Sunday of Easter as the Sunday of Divine Mercy for the Universal Church. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of loss
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Craig Wayne Boyd with the Old Rugged Cross. He was the winner of The Voice, the TV show The Voice, a few years ago. Always loved that song. Great version by Craig Wayne Boyd. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. Well, we're going to talk about how to read your way to heaven. We are joined now by author Vicki Burbach. Vicki joins us to talk about this book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven, a spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Vicki, I'm trying to figure out where I fit into this mix. I think I'm somewhere like around the worst of sinners, to be honest with you. You know,
yeah, well, some of us have a longer road, don't we?
Yeah, and this is a fascinating concept to me, how to read your way to heaven. The first question I have is, how did this book come about?
Well, obviously the title is tongue-in-cheek a little
bit,
but, you know, I was a convert to the faith, mm-hmm. and I did a lot of spiritual reading. I felt like I didn't have any rhyme or reason to what I was reading. So I mm-hmm. would read, you know, a book on prayer, and then I would read another book on, you know, on theology in some way. And, you know, I did a lot over the first, I'd say 10 years of my time in the church, and, you know, over time I really learned that this is about getting to heaven, not just about gaining knowledge, which is what I was starting to amass.
Right.
And I was leading, you know, spiritual, we were reading, I was doing book clubs, spiritual reading book clubs, and it just occurred to me that really trying to slow down and focus in certain areas of our faith would really maybe help me to make, you know, a little better mileage in my faith life and a little more progress. And someone handed me Father C. John McCloskey's Lifetime Catholic Reading List. And I looked that over, and for years I'd been really trying to read the Catechism.
Right.
That's actually how it came about. Is, you know, there are four sections to the Catechism, and I'd tried to read it cover to cover, and I'd heard, you know, I think the Catechism came out the year after I joined the church.
Okay.
And so I was really excited about it, really wanted to read it, but it's so amazingly profound.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard to read, but profound. So I could just handle a couple of paragraphs a day. And when someone handed me Father C. John McCloskey's reading list, I started to notice that, you know, really a lot of the titles that we read can fit into the different pillars of the Catechism, the four sections of the Catechism.
Right.
You know, one is what we believe. The second is liturgy and the sacraments. The third is our life in Christ, and the fourth is prayer. And I just started laying them out and realizing that if I could focus, say, 1 year on one particular area, it might really do a lot of good. And I've been doing that for about 10 or 15 years now, and it's just been a lovely practice over time. So eventually, it came out into a book.
Well, you make the point that the title is tongue-in-cheek, How to Read Your Way to Heaven, and in the book you mention it, and this is something that I have run into as well. Wouldn't it be great if we could just sit with our books, especially the Bible, and just read our way to heaven and not have to worry about going out into the world and practicing what we read? And yeah, that would be great. You also touch on the idea, and I've experienced this in my own life, that it's possible to, once you really embrace your faith and say, I'm going to get serious about this and start reading, you can begin to collect a lot of head knowledge, but if you don't go and take that out into the world, it's not really doing you any good. It's trying to learn how to swim almost without going in the pool.
That's a great analogy. That's exactly right. You know, we are bombarded on a daily basis with messages in our culture that are antithetical to our faith.
Right.
You know, the minute we wake up in the morning, we are just constantly accosted.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking time in the morning or some time that works best during the day to just unite ourselves with Christ through spiritual reading just helps us to go out and live our faith in a world that is really, you know, pushing against us. You know, we're constantly getting pushback. And, you know, that just helps us to go out and actually share that light with the world. You know, you actually have something to take out there,
right?
And to help you to be the example in a world that is not an example.
I know exactly what you mean. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to briefly explain how the program works, but I want to address one thing. I anticipate somebody's out there listening saying, oh, well, I'm not a reader. This sounds too complicated for me. I don't like to read. How do you address that person? Is there, I have a feeling this book, this plan, is geared toward a multitude of different individuals. Not everybody likes to read as much as everyone else. How do you address that issue?
Well, I wrote this program for two audiences. One would be the person, like I mentioned, like me, who likes to read but maybe doesn't have a lot of rhyme or reason. But the other is someone who is intimidated by the concept of spiritual reading and doesn't know where to get started. And this program lays out a very simple method. You know, there are actually specific assignments that are very simple to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might read a chapter of sacred scripture in a day, and you might read a paragraph or two of the catechism. So they're very simple to follow, and there are no dates. There are no deadlines. So, you know, say someone can just get up and open the book and find, you know, I'm opening it right now to year 3, week 28. You know, you might read a psalm, you know, Psalm 40. Then you'd read one paragraph of the catechism and, you know, one chapter from say, Rome Sweet Home or a part of a chapter. And it's amazing how these things all fit together. But say I only have time to read sacred scripture today.
Okay.
You know, that's the lovely thing about this is it's a checklist for your eyes only. So then tomorrow you might go on and read a paragraph of the catechism. You know, so you could just take 10 or 15 minutes a day, and you don't have to think about what to read or where to go or how to organize. It's just all laid out for you. And, you know, I said year three. This is laid out so that if you're intimidated by the idea of a five-year reading program, which
right.
is originally what I laid this out to be,
yeah.
you can do 1 year. You can say, take a year and focus on prayer. And, you know, you have a much smaller organized set of assignments. And when I say assignments, I don't mean to make it sound so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a laid out way to do your spiritual reading. And I am just confident that when someone gets through a year, they would want to go back and begin again on year one and, you know, do the other sections of the reading program. You know, it's something, it's difficult to describe in words so quickly, but
yeah.
it's just laid out to be a very simple program for someone who maybe hasn't done a lot of this and isn't sure where to go. It's explained very simply.
It really is, and I'm looking at it right now, and I like the idea that it is a checklist. And to give you listening at home an example, year one, week one, day one, Matthew chapter one, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You have one little, is this one paragraph of the Catechism, Vicki? Or one section?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
I mean, it's very doable.
Yeah, it is.
Right, and then you have the preface and introduction to Rome Sweet Home by Scott and Kimberly Hahn. I mean, that's very doable for one day. And it also gives me a roadmap. So if I'm not sure, it's nice having this in front of me, and I can check this off. You have it in checklist format. I can check it off and look back and say, wow, I accomplished this.
Right, right. And one thing I learned over the time of doing this is that, you know, sometimes something comes up and you may not hit your reading today.
Okay.
But it allows you to jump right back in tomorrow.
Now, right,
I mean, I'm an advocate
right.
of spiritual reading every day. But it does allow you to have a guide so that you can go back to where you were. You know, it's not like, oh, I need to go start all over again. And I did a lot of that with reading sacred scripture.
Right.
You know, I just really felt like I wanted to read the Bible, and I'd get started, and I'd get to about Leviticus, and it'd get boring, and I'd feel like
yep.
this isn't applying to me today, to my life. So I'm going to go pick up another book now. This mm-hmm. allows you to just take it slowly, and also, you know, you're not just reading sacred scripture, but you're not forgetting it either. You're reading sacred scripture and a little piece of the catechism, and also, you know, another spiritual reading book as well, so
mm-hmm.
that it all really does meld together and apply to your life in a really profound way. Over time.
It sure does. The book is How to Read Your Way to Heaven, a spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between, from Sophia Institute Press by Vicki Burbach. Vicki, where is the best place to pick up a copy of the book?
You know what? Most Catholic bookstores sell them. I have friends sending me pictures all over the country of different
awesome.
Catholic bookstores that have them. You can also find them online, Amazon, Sophia Institute Press, obviously. Just about anywhere you look, you can Google it, pick it up.
Wonderful. We're going to have a link to this at spiritinthemorning.com. Vicki, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to dig into this book.
Super. All right. Thanks, Gary. You take care.
All right. God bless you. Vicki Burbach, the book was How to Read Your Way to Heaven. Interesting stuff. Really interesting stuff. And by the way, this is part of the Spiritual Direction series from spiritualdirection.com.
Wow.
Founded by our next guest, Dan Burke.
How about
Stay
that,
tuned.
Folks?
It worked out nicely. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about suffering in 1 minute.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons has won the Nobel Peace Prize. The Norwegian Nobel Committee has honored the Geneva-based group for its, quote, work to draw attention to the catastrophic humanitarian consequences of any use of nuclear weapons and for its groundbreaking efforts to achieve a treaty-based prohibition of such weapons, end quote. Traditional allies in support of gun rights are of one mind in calling for regulation of bump stock devices that apparently aided the gunman behind the Las Vegas attack. Usually, the National Rifle Association opposes firearm restrictions. President Donald Trump has pledged to support gun rights as well. Yet after the deadly rampage at the Country Music Festival in Las Vegas, the NRA and the Trump administration are endorsing additional regulations for devices. And Pope Francis has lamented how new technologies are making it easier for people to change gender, saying this utopia of the neutral risks the creation of new life. The Holy Father made the comments yesterday to the Pontifical Academy for Life, which is meeting in Rome under the theme, Accompanying New Life, New Responsibilities in the Technological Era. The Holy Father said, quote, the biological and physical manipulation of sexual difference, which biomedical technology allows us to perceive as completely available to free choice, which it is not, thus risks dismantling the source of energy that nurtures the alliance between man and woman and which renders it creative and fruitful, end quote. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
100 years ago, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to 3 shepherd children in the small village of Fatima, Portugal. Mary came to call us back to God through penance and prayer, reminding us that only in God do we find peace. In celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions, Archbishop Charles Chaput will consecrate the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, her parishes, schools, institutions, and families to Our Lady of Fatima. This special consecration Mass will take place on Sunday, October 15th at 11 a.m. at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. This will be a momentous event for everyone living in the greater Philadelphia area, and all are invited to attend. For more information about the consecration and how you can prepare, visit archphila.org/Fatima. That's archphila.org/Fatima.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Spend today in a conversation in the mirror, face to face with somebody less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before me. But that's just not my story. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing.
It's all in.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was He Knows by Name by Francesca Battistelli. Really cool thing when you think about it. The Lord knows your name too. That should make you feel good. I'm Gary Zemeck, really glad to be hanging out with you on this Friday. I'm also glad that we are joined once again by our friend Dan Burke, who is the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register. He's also the founder of SpiritualDirection.com. It's been a long time. Dan has been struggling with some medical issues. He's here to talk about the value of redemptive suffering. Dan, are you there, brother?
I am. Great to be back with you, Gary.
Man, it has been a long time. You have been struggling with some issues. Dan, here's the thing. I want to ask you, first of all, can you fill us in, before we talk about the value of redemptive suffering, offering up your suffering, if you will, what's been going on with you?
Well, I was hospitalized recently. I had a very serious lung virus issue.
Wow.
That interacted with what's called a vagal nerve in the body. Anyway, not to bore people, but basically lost consciousness about 30 times.
Whoa.
Over a short period, just, you know, where you're standing up and then you end up out on the floor on your face.
Oh.
And so it's been it's been quite a journey. It's probably been harder on my wife. Oh. Well, I should say, I know it's been harder on my wife than me, but it's been an interesting number of weeks.
Well, I'm glad you're back with us. And before we get into some of the details, redemptive suffering. Dan, I was talking to Dave earlier in the program. When I was growing up, whenever I would complain, either the sisters in school or my mom would say, hey, just offer it up, I never really knew what that meant. For the benefit of anybody who is not really sure of this term, redemptive suffering, what's that all about?
Well, in Scripture, we have this passage that talks about our ability in some mysterious way, mm-hmm, to join with Christ in his redemption of the world by the act of faith, or the offering up, you know, of your suffering and joining it with his, and then somehow he has chosen to use that as a means of bringing about the salvation of the world, the redemption of souls, and that sort of thing. So, you know, we could talk about it for hours. It's a mystery, which means that there are limits to our ability to understand it, but it's a truth that we have revealed in Scripture and then, of course, in the lives of the saints.
Yeah, and that Scripture passage that you're referring to, is that Colossians 1:24?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, you know, that's a troubling passage for a lot of people, because it almost seems, when we read that the suffering of Christ on the cross was somehow incomplete. That's not what you're saying, is it?
No. So that would be, obviously, our Protestant brothers and sisters would tend to see it that way.
Yeah.
But as a Catholic, we understand that God uses means. All grace is mediated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because a priest is the one who conveys to us, if you will, or is the mediator that brings to us the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that is a necessary reality,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't mean that there is not one mediator, as Timothy says,
mm-hmm,
and that is Christ, but it means that Christ, of course, is the ultimate mediator. He is the one who has redeemed us, but he has chosen the means of that priest to receive our confession and stand in his place and give us absolution or offer the Mass. So similarly, in terms of how it is that God has chosen to redeem the world, there's nothing you and I can do, Gary, that's of any significance,
mm-hmm,
to redeeming the world.
Mm-hmm.
But he has chosen, however meager our offering is, to magnify that by the blood of and suffering of Christ, by his great love and sacrifice for us, to use that means to bring about his grace in the world.
Dan, that's remarkable. When you really think about that privilege that he gives us, it makes the suffering, as we're going through it might not take away the pain, but it almost gives it meaning, and I would say makes it a little bit easier. When you were going through what you did, and you journaled about it extensively, I was blown away, and I'm sure that's not easy to do, to expose yourself that way. When you were going through your recent bout with the illness, did it make it a little easier to carry the cross, knowing that you were helping the Lord to redeem the world?
Gary, I have to say that it wasn't hard at all.
Wow.
I've lived my life. My body has never been my friend. And so, you know, I've got a lot of practice, I guess. But and I'm not saying, you know, throwing up blacking out and hitting my head and bleeding and, you know, freaking my wife and my family out and the discomfort. I'm not saying that was easy on a human level, but I was deeply aware, you know, of the great gift of that suffering and the ability while I was in it. You know, I had very specific prayer requests. I know some people, you know, I have a good friend who's lost two babies. And she's pregnant again, and so when I was going down, and I was, you know, I was thinking about her and offering that up for her. You know, we have a new program, the Abel Institute, where we're beginning to form and prepare men for the priesthood before they go into seminary. It's something the Pope asked to be done, and we're doing that for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. We got 19 guys coming into the program. We're going to teach them to pray and how to be holy. And so those guys were on my mind as I was suffering. And so, you know, I think part of the power of it is that you're just not getting lost in the weeds of your discomfort, but you're kind of, you're in the discomfort. There's this humanity. I mean, Gary, the suffering brought me to tears in the sense of the intensity of it at times. So humanly speaking, it was very, very, very uncomfortable. But just the great, glorious reality of God present in and through these things, of participating in His redemption, for me was the predominant kind of perspective. And I, you know, Saint Peter said, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." I wanted it to be over again. So there's another piece, you know. I was resigned to the illness being as long as God wanted, and I'm still recovering.
Right.
But I wanted it to be over. I mean, not at human level. I want to work. I want to help, you know.
Right.
I want to feel good. But in the end, though, I really, you know, in the middle of it, I have gifts to give that are totally unique. Unique to the circumstances, that are very powerful in terms of what Christ desires to do with them for the kingdom of God.
Now, Dan, we only have about 3 minutes left. We could probably explore this for hours, but I want to make sure we touch on one thing. Somebody's out there suffering. They're suffering maybe in a bad marriage, maybe in a job that is really overwhelming them. I want to make sure that people listening know that it is okay to do something to alleviate your suffering at times. Would that be correct, or to ask for it?
Rather than
say, "This is God's will. He wants me to suffer. If I'm not suffering, I'm not doing God's will."
No. I mean, Gary, I went to the hospital.
Right, and I think that's important to bring that out.
I accept the medical, help.
Yeah.
You got to be a good steward of your body and spirit, and you know, you can't allow yourself to be in a situation where you're in abuse. And,
exactly.
You know, that is not what we're talking about here. That's a different situation.
Right.
What was going on with me wasn't because of my sin, if you will, or the somebody else trying to inflict sin on me or sinfully inflicting something on me in that moment. But even in those moments, you can accept it. But we have to be careful that we don't misuse this idea. If a woman, you know, for instance, is being abused or threatened by her husband, you know, she needs to get to a shelter. Or if the children are being abused, they need to be taken out of that situation. That's grave sin to leave them in that situation. And even sin for you to stay sometimes. I'm not speaking against the church's teaching on divorce.
Right.
But I'm
just
talking about a volatile situation.
Right.
Or being put in a position at work where you may be asked to sin or to compromise your values. I mean, we've got to have prudence, and that's why we need spiritual direction. We need people outside of us to help us evaluate these things and get clarity, because when we're in the middle of suffering, I had a pretty clear head, but I've been going through this kind of stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
If your head's not clear, you got to get help from outside to kind of assess and figure out at what God's doing, what you need to do. And we also, you know, we've got to realize if you're new in the interior life, your prayer life's not all that great. And, you know, this what I'm talking about is really kind of impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a different way to deal with a situation.
Right.
But ultimately, I think this is where we want to be. And I'm not always there, believe
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be in this place where what is not my will, Lord, but thine be
That's
done, like Christ in the garden.
That's right. That's
this
right.
is incredibly difficult.
Yep.
But I know I need it for my redemption. In Christ's situation, of course, it was for the redemption of the world.
That's right.
But for us, nothing happens that isn't allowed or caused by God.
Amen.
So, and it nothing happens for those who love God without a purpose.
That's right.
For our eternal redemption. So we need to have that perspective to help us lift our heads out of the pain and engage with God and embrace what's going on and work with Him then as a next step to be a participant in the redemption of the world.
Yes. And Dan, we are just about out of time, but we need to explore this a little bit more. This was powerful, and I really want to thank you for sharing with us, because there's somebody out there I know who's suffering right now. Don't waste it. As Dan said, you can offer that suffering up, but we can also, Dan, imitate our Lord, as you said, in the garden, and say, if it be your will, Father, let this cup pass. Dan Burke, thank you so much, my brother.
Great to be with you, Gary.
I look forward to talking to you next time. Dan Burke with the, you can find him online at spiritualdirection.com. Man, I got to digest some of that stuff. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. We're in the closing segment of the program. We're about to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. I want to thank our guests today, Vicki Burbuck and Dan Burke. Man, good stuff on the show today. Let's look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today, it comes from Judges chapter 6, verse 27. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. All right, what's going on here? Gideon's father, Dave, I'm going to bring you in here. Gideon's father had built an altar to worship a false god. Essentially, he was setting up an altar to worship a false god. Gideon, who had become encountered the Lord, realized that this was wrong, and the Lord instructed him to tear down the altar. But Gideon was too afraid. He knew what he had to do. He was too afraid to do it by day. He did it by night. And
Cover of darkness.
Right. Now the reason I put this verse in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, first of all, he was dealing with fear. He was afraid, but he did the right thing anyway. The reason I included this in the book is because this is an example of how we often grow in faith. By taking baby steps.
Exactly.
He was on the right track.
He was.
He was afraid, but he didn't want to do it in the daytime. He said, well, I'm going to do this at night. But then maybe, you know, once we take these little steps, once we step out in faith a little bit, then our faith grows and it's easier for us to take the next step.
Exactly.
And I think we shouldn't get too overwhelmed. This idea of stepping out in faith, growing close to the Lord, it is a process. And we're going to be working on this for the rest of our life. Learn to take
journey.
A little step one day at a time, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the thought came in. He was trying to thread the needle. He wanted to do the right thing. He knew, you know, that the idol worshiping was wrong, but he didn't. But he was still not confident enough to go out and do it in broad daylight.
Exactly.
You know, he had that fear, as you say. But again, as we grow, Gare, as you say, I mean, sometimes in my life, I'm thinking, well, what's more important, the Lord or this thing I'm trying to, you know, like, get, you know, walk that fine line.
Right.
And we all are faced with those situations.
We are. And sometimes we start out by taking these baby steps. If we look in the gospel, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because he was afraid too. That happens in our lives. So I would encourage you, take that baby step. You know, if you want to, you don't have to like jump into the deep water first thing. I mean, you start slowly and gradually. You're going to grow closer to the Lord, and eventually, you're not going to care as much. So take that baby step, and you will be on the right track. I wanted to talk. Dave and I were talking on the break a little bit. Dan Burke, man, that was just powerful, very courageous of him. He has really revealed everything he's been going through. And it's not easy. It's not easy to admit that. It's not easy if you're in the midst of this passing out and dealing with these medical ailments to admit that. But Dan has been offering up his suffering. Dave, we were talking on the break last year, and I forget this sometimes because you are the picture of health, but you were dealing a medical issue last year.
A heart issue.
And you were faced with, why don't you tell the story?
Well,
because
again,
I think it'll be helpful.
As we were talking about Gare, I mean, Dan's story was just so, heart-wrenching, but yeah, so we if we can emulate that. Okay, I had a heart issue a year ago, and it was like I went for a typical annual, semi-annual checkup, and they said, well, hey, you know, you need a stress test. Well, that showed, basically, I had some blockage in my heart. So basically, there was a decision time, have a catheterization. So, and when they do that, so I did. And while I was out, I ended up, they put some stents in my heart. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it, but I was telling Gary, here's the point. The point was, while I was there, we never know when the Lord's going to call us. And
right.
In our modern day of medicine, everything seems to be, oh, it's all, you know, a typical procedure, that stenting stuff. Well, I that little human part of me, well, Lord, if you're ready to take me. You know, and then so I went into this. I offer everything up to you. I try to do that anyways, whether it's minor, not that, or just minor aches and pains of aging, whatever. But yeah, that I really had. You have to come to grips, as Dan did, as we all have done. For those of you listening, maybe you can relate. You know, if it's an aging or a health issue or whatever it is, and where it really brings reality to, like, where is my belief? You know,
right.
where is my trust?
Right.
You know, and yeah, trust in medicine and guide the hands of the good medical folks. But I mean, ultimately, I Lord, you know, take this. You know, if you have things for me to do after this, well, then my eyes will open.
And was there, Dave, was there a sense of peace? I mean, certainly you're coming to grips with your own mortality, which I don't think is a bad thing sometimes.
Oh, I think it's a very good thing.
But when you were able to say, all right, Lord, your will be done. I'm in your hands. You're in control, Lord. I'm not in control. Was there a sense of peace that went
around? Oh, there was. There was. And it comes down to, like, okay, we profess, like, I believe I'll do this, but it's crunch time, folks.
Yeah, right.
And we all are faced with that. Whatever it is in our lives, spiritual, medical, physical, you know, psychological, and but the Lord will get you through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's give over to Him everything, your life, and just praise Him and thank Him, and He will take care of us.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you came through it. I'm glad you're
still
with us here, brother.
Thank you,
and thanks for sharing that, because I think that's an important message.
You're welcome.
When you said it's crunch time, it reminded me of what our first guest, Vicki Burbach, said. It's great to amass this knowledge through spiritual reading, but there comes a time when you have to put it into practice.
Yeah.
And that was your time to really put it into practice.
Yeah, and I've had it, and we all have those moments in our life, you know, not just one. I mean, but... Yes, and praise God. Thank
all
God.
All right. Well,
I'm here, and I he's not done with me.
That's right. He's got big plans for you. And speaking of big plans, next week on the show, we're going to be joined by Brian Mercier, Danielle Bean, Dr. John Bergsma, Megan Coakley, Tony Agnese, one of the Franciscan friars from the Eternal Word from EWTN. Not sure who it's going to be yet, but Chris Bell will be here also, Greg Kandra, and hopefully Dan Burke will be back. And I hope you'll join us as well. I am headed to Fargo, North Dakota tomorrow.
Fargo.
But I'll be leading a parish mission there. I will be doing the show remotely. Dave will be manning the controls in the studio.
The deer will be there.
That's right. They're going to be looking for me. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Make sure you say hi. This is Gary Zimak on behalf of Dave Parker and everybody at Holy Spirit Radio saying thanks for listening.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating